2 years ago, Morning Edition listeners heard voices not often heard on the radio. Old, crackling voices.
It's like walking 10 miles, a step at a time. And before you know, you're 100 years old.
I guess I'm an optimist. I thought the best was ahead. The best is yet to be.
I like my home here, and I've made loads of friends, and I feel secure.
These voices, and many like them, were heard in a series of stories about people 100 years old and older. Many of them were still working, some were still in love. All of them still wanted to talk. Nina Ellis, a former producer and colleague at NPR, traveled the country for a year, recording and retelling the stories of the centenarians. The radio series got a strong response, and Nina has reworked it into a new book called If I Live to Be 100. Nina told me when she started talking to these people, she asked too many questions about life in the old days, and that was a mistake.
Because I was finding people who really didn't care that much about telling me stories about the past. I mean, they would, but when they really got excited was telling me about what they were going to do tomorrow or their plans for the future, which completely blew me away.
So the series became?
What it's like to be 100 years old and what my life might be like when I turn 100, because for reasons that I can't really explain, I've always believed I would live to be 100 years old, ever since I was a kid. I don't know why. Partially because I had elderly grandparents.
You had to re-educate yourself about interviewing.
I sure did.
And go at their pace.
Yes, I had to slow down a lot. I would sit literally sometimes for hours without asking a question. And you have to sit very close because they don't see you that well or they don't hear you that well. And a lot of times the women want to hold your hand, which was lovely. But when you listen like that and spend, you know, days with people, you bond on a different kind of level than I was used to as a reporter. So, yeah, I had to learn a completely new way to listen.
Well, who was your first breakthrough?
Anna Wilmot. Lived alone in her own cabin on a lake. She was surrounded by friends and family, and she seemed perfectly content where she was and with the way her life was set up.
And what I do, I come out here.
What a nice
and
view.
And when you get out here, nobody's around. You can come out here and skinny dip.
Do you do that?
Yep.
You do?
I do.
Okay. Why not?
Only if it's foggy and there's no fishermen around.
Skinny dipping in Massachusetts?
Yeah, she's a tough lady. I saw Anna, I went to her 104th birthday party in August, and she stood up in front of a crowd of about 100 people and she said, "Now I know a lot of you are getting really tired of coming to my birthday parties, but you got to get used to it because I plan on being around a lot longer."
Who else?
Well, you might remember R.L. Stamper. He was a cowboy and a preacher and pretty lonely because his third wife had passed away the year before. He couldn't get out of the house. And he told me very directly that he wanted a wife.
I need a companion real bad. And one I'd have probably wouldn't help me. I've got a lot to offer a woman yet. I sit here and it's real boresome. If you didn't have the Lord, you'd crack up, I think.
Somebody heard this interview, you might remember, and he got married to a Morning Edition listener 9 months after the interview was on the air.
Did you go?
I went, and they were pretty happy. They had 9 months of wedded bliss. R.L. passed away just short of his 104th birthday, but he was married to a beautiful woman named Josephine Williams from Shreveport, and they were like teenagers in love.
Loneliness has to be a big part of this. I mean, they've outlived all their friends, and in some cases their children.
In some cases their children. It is very hard. And these centenarians know instinctively how important it is to keep human connections, that that's what keeps them going.
You had a couple.
Sadie and Gilbert Hill. When I met them, they were coming up on their 80th wedding anniversary. Think about that, Bob. You might remember that he described in eloquent detail their morning routine.
Sadie can't sleep after 6 o'clock, and by 6, she's raring to get out and get going. I timed it this morning just for fun. And just 12 minutes after she got out of bed, she had the breakfast all on the table out here.
So then you have breakfast together every morning?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Do you all make plans for the future, or do you live thinking pretty much about day to day?
Well, we don't look ahead too much now. We don't dare to. We have days that we are not in good shape. And we have to live accordingly.
Sadie did pass away a year ago, and, you know, everybody thought that Gilbert wouldn't last very long, but surprisingly, he's doing quite well. You know, Bob, all of these people have personality traits in common. They're all passionate about something larger than themselves. They're very resilient. They're very optimistic. I mentioned they're very direct and they're very social. But optimism is by far and away the most notable character trait that they all have.
I'm doomed.
You think?
I am absolutely doomed.
Well, the $64,000 question is if they got this way as they got older or if they were always this way. We don't know.
So do you still want to live to be 100 years old?
I do. You know, life is not easy for people at 100 years old. I make it sound, you know, I'm telling you all these wonderful stories, but they are very tough people. I only hope that I could, you know, be that tough when I'm that age. But I'll tell you, if I don't make it, I think I learned a lot about how to, you know, it sounds very corny, but it's the basic truth, how to enjoy today.
Nina Ellis. Her book is titled If I Live to Be 100, Lessons from the Centenarians. There's more about the book and the Morning Edition series on which it was based at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.